Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me today on our satsang, our radio program. And we're going to talk about something that I think everybody's more interested in than anything else in the world other than money. What do you think it is, huh? What do you think it is? Yep. Sex. And we're going to get into it. I want to remind you, though, before we begin this little process, that I am here on this radio station, this radio program, only because of your tax-deductible gifts, because of my sponsors. They are the ones who help support and make all this possible. And if you are enjoying our programs, and you probably might today, I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our effort here on Aspire to offer you something outside the small box of conventional, well, even conventional metaphysics and New Age stuff. I'm trying to help you understand the nature of your life and how beautiful it is. And I hope you will join us. And for your sponsorship, oh boy, you get some wonderful gifts. 122 discourses, yep, that I have made over the years on all of the Aspire TV programs that I've done. And they're all there for you as a sponsor, as well as my podcast, videocast, commentaries each and every month, and the message of the month each and every month. All these things you do get for helping us serve humankind in this way. And I want to thank my sponsors. Hope you become one and help us. Your donations go to pay for airtime. So if you go to our website at aspire.org, aspire.org, you will see support. And if you click on that, you will see why support Aspire, and it will explain where your donations go, how important they are, and you can sign up right there and help us. And you can do it through monthly or quarterly donations, whatever is convenient for you. And I urge you to help. There's a lot of indifference in this world, which is what we suffer from. Thank you. Let's talk about sex. It's on everybody's mind. Before we do the sex thing here, we've got to talk about the moral thing of it. And I want to give a definition of morality because I looked it up in the dictionary. Concerned with the principles of right and wrong behavior and the goodness or badness of human character. Concerned with the code of interpersonal behavior that is considered right or acceptable in a particular society. There you are. I want to say to you something here that by these definitions, you begin to see that the society determines what the human being is going to be like and do. And these rules that we have are very interesting when they come down to the idea of our heart and whether or not we are living in our heart. Is it a moral certainty? Is it a moral value? Is it the fiber of our morality? Are there laws to our morality, as it were? And religion and philosophy give us lots of those. So let's get into it. I get these questions time to time, probably 5 or 6 in a year, maybe 7. So I decided to grab a few of them that I've kept. I never really thought I'd do a program like this, but here I am. All right, the first one comes from June, and she lives in Washington State. I'm wondering what role sex plays in an authentic practice as you talk about it. What is the purpose of sex, June? June, like everything in this life, if it is done in the context of consciousness and being conscious without duality, anything we do from sex to work to eating to wiping our rear ends can be something of a spiritual transition and ascent. We can ascend into our hearts and sustain the meaning of our life through that. But because we are literal-minded people and because we choose to live so unconsciously, we make even the most important and, well, what we think of as a silly event, something that really, to our expectations and specifications, doesn't matter. But I say it matters a great deal. I say everything we do matters, and sex is one of them. Conscious sex can bring about such bliss, such beauty. It can actually bring about consciousness. It isn't about just the act of sex. It's what you bring to sex that makes it beautiful. And you can search the world for the perfect partner, but that won't help you until you and I have achieved some measure of consciousness within. I want you to remember this, June. What you bring to sex turns it into a fest of love. It brings it into not just sensuality and obsession, compulsion, and fetishes. If you do it through the human heart, you're going to lose everything that is valuable about sex, just like we lose everything that is valuable about eating or cleaning our homes or brushing our teeth. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're doing it consciously, it becomes sacred. If I do it unconsciously in my duality to relieve myself, which is what most of us do with sex. We use it to relieve ourselves, to give ourselves a little pause between one hate and another, one fear and another, one frustration and another. We miss. You can get into a state of such a beautiful bliss through sex that it is no longer sex anymore. It's no longer a moral issue. It isn't a moral issue. We are a very frustrated people in this world. We are extremely frustrated. We have so many fears and so many demands made on us, so many. These fears and these demands are made upon us in a way that make us angry and hostile. So when it comes down to really understanding the nature, let's say, of sex and what it can be and what it can do, we just don't have the patience for it. We have rendered it unto our emotionality. So our emotions decide what sex is going to be. And that's really, really sad when you think about it. Because in that, we miss what is sweet and what is beautiful, what is kind, what is lovely. We don't care much about the whole idea of what it is to have conscious sex, where we are not trying to pleasure another person, but become one in the whole of oneness. To become one with the whole of oneness, where you lose your body, you lose your emotions, you lose your mind, and you are no longer captured by it any longer. Something of the other shore comes in, that a feeling of tremendous oneness, not just with your partner, but with the world in general, with everything in the universe. Sex is a vehicle to use the body as a tuning fork. And as you strike it just perfectly, inside, it will start to resonate. And as it resonates, those vibrations go out and out and out. And we start to become one with that energy that is going out. And then we find that energy starts coming in and in. Your kundalini is awakened. And when this starts to occur, you start to realize that it isn't just through sex. You can be doing anything in the course of your day and feel the same bliss, the same beauty, the same oneness. You don't need the cooperation even of your body after a while, because your being becomes more powerful than the body. I'm not interested in size or proportion of the body. You become very fascinated by the energy, the creativeness of it all. Sex is very much a creative endeavor, and you will find in that creativity, and I'm not talking about hanging from the chandeliers, I'm talking about the creativity that is the most sacred aspect of all of us, which is to find the creativity to relieve, as it were, our fears, our anger, our problems. It requires consciousness, though, meditation. And you can actually, through having beautiful, conscious, sacred sex, awaken and find yourself awakening. It isn't about orgasm, not at all. It's about dropping the body, dropping the mind, dropping the emotions, and June eventually entering into that secret place of the Most High, as it is called, and awakening to love. It is a practice. It is a tantra, which I have practiced for years. So I hope that that helps you a little bit, June. Never separate any act in this world from the practice of your heart. It is only in the heart of your being that we find the meaning of everything that we do. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Jay. I don't know where he lives. He does not tell me. I like porn. By the way, I just recently got an email about this. So, you know, when I got this email from a friend of mine about all of this, I decided, wow, maybe I should get into this. So, you know, here we are. But this comes from Jay. I like porn. Doesn't seem to hurt me very much, but my wife is disgusted by it. What should I do? Does it hurt me? Jay, I don't know you. I don't. So what I'm about to say here is, it pertains only to the people I know, myself and others. The human is a very frustrated thing. As I said a little earlier, it is a very angry animal. It is angered by so many things and frustrated by so many things. And it starts in our childhood, and it goes on and on and on without stopping. And for the most part, this frustration when we are children eventually goes into the root chakra and becomes an issue both in men and in women. With men, it can be anything from the prostate to erection problems. And with the woman, oh my goodness, in the reproductive system of her body, which is very delicate, It can manifest in all sorts of ways. The body requires sex, but the heart requires sacredness. And learning to join the two together is what makes sex so beautiful. It takes the way the word sex and makes it a practice of love, a practice of space, spaciousness, not emotionality. So when you ask me, Jay, about porn, you say you like it. It doesn't hurt me. It does in a certain way. In a certain way. It appeases your human nature, your frustrations, and it appeases your anger. It appeases the whole idea of us getting into fetishes. Sometimes they're demeaning both to the male and the female. And if that's the way it is, well, then it does hurt you. But if it's technique you're looking at to learn, to understand, then if you want to make it that way educational, it can be, but how much can you watch before you can't watch it anymore, and now you and I become a voyeur? And that voyeurism never manifests into any kind of reality in our life, and we become more and more frustrated. I'm not against the idea that you watch porn at all. I don't know what kind of pornography you get involved in. I don't know. So if it's degrading and humiliating to you or to your partner, then that would not be something that I would say would be helpful. But sometimes people live such uptight lives that the only thing they really have is the voyeurism, and then probably masturbation with that. But if you can masturbate and bring your energy up to your heart chakra and do not have orgasm through your body, but through your heart chakra, then you've done something unique. And Jay, I'm going to assume you're a male, so I give this exercise, this tantric exercise, to my students where I have them at times masturbate and bring their energy just before they have orgasm up to their heart. And then do not orgasm, do not ejaculate in your case. But just hold that energy around your heart. As you do this over and over and over again inside of you, you're going to find that the crusty part of your heart, that hardness of heart, starts to break down. And then you start to realize, the more you practice, that you can do this and new sensations begin to occur, more loving and kind. You actually will get insight into yourself, insight into your life, insight into the meaning of what you're really all about. And once you get that insight, you will realize there is more to this than I have ever had before. This is not just an act where I'm using sex as a way to escape, but now it can become a modality, not of pleasure, but of insight. You will start to see your life. And I know the jokes go on. People do this kind of thing so they don't have to realize their life. And I understand all that. We live miserable lives and we make very bad choices based on our emotionality when it comes to our partners or even the idea of marriage. But that's not what you're asking here. If you are going to do this pornography thing, make sure no one is getting hurt, that you're not getting hurt. If you use it as a reminder of what it is to have a caring and loving relationship, not just with your partner, but with the process of sex itself, then when you masturbate, it won't be something ugly. Don't make things ugly. Don't eat ugly food. Don't have ugly sex. Don't use money in ugly ways. Just simple little teachings like that can bring about a world of insight and change your entire life. So, Jay, I don't know what to say because I don't really know you. And I don't know what you watch, and I don't know about you as a person, but I hope this broad stroke, as it were, no pun intended, will help you. And please forgive me. Namaste. We go to extremes on everything. The last question. What is sex as a matter of consciousness, as you have spoken briefly about in your discourses? This is from Kay in LA, and she gets my discourses. Sometimes you allude to it, but you never get into it. Could you please, Kay? Kay, I don't know how it happens. I really don't. I think it's like anything. Once you've practiced meditation, once you've started to become heartfelt about your life and everything in it, naturally eating is going to change, and naturally the way you eat is going to change, and sex is going to change. The way you do your housework is going to change. The way you drive to work, the way you do your work, everything's going to change. The whole idea of attaining consciousness through sex is not new. This is tantric. And one of the first things we learn in Tantra is the quietness of it, the absolute silence of it, the beauty of it. There are certain people who, quite frankly, Kay, are not ready for this. It's not their time. Oh, they want it to be their time. Oh, I want this, Greg. People will say that to me. But they don't live the lifestyle of silence, of kindness, of mercy. They don't. You have to be merciful with yourself first. If you're not merciful with yourself, if you're not forgiving, you're going to find everything I'm talking about very foreign, silly, and you won't relate to it at all, not even remotely. So you just can't jump into it. You have to work upon yourself. Like everything, you have to work upon yourself. You have to see your frustrations. I've given you catharsis. I've given you many catharsises. They're all on the website at aspire.org under meditations. They're very, very important. If you do not cathart, you will bring anger to the situation. You will bring your poverty to the situation. You will bring frustration. This will be ugly. Very ugly. And that's why you're going to find that all of the stuff I talk about being conscious doesn't pertain. Being conscious is not just being sober. Being conscious is being aware of seeing the bigger picture, of being so merciful and forgiving and kind that the act of sex just broadens that. You bring it to the body, and that's the best the body's going to ever do with an authentic spiritual practice, is have conscious sex. That's all it is a tuning fork. Boom. And if you start to resonate in that vibration, then you start to find changes, and you will drop your psychology, you will drop your emotionality, and you will start seeing things in the light of your heart. And it is only in the light of your heart that you will find the meaning of your existence. I hope that helps you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. went fast, didn't it? I hope this helped. If you have any comments or questions or anything I can help you with, obviously, for future radio programs, come to the website at aspire.org. You will see media. If you hit media, you will see Satsang with Siraj. That'd be me. And all you have to do is email me from there or just email me at greg@aspire.org. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. Be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.